Studio to Paul is
awesome.
Engaging. Ballin'.
As a student.
As a student.
As a student of DePaul University.
You are part of the largest.
Largest.
Largest Catholic university in the U.S.
You're a part of a university that's been recognized for having one of the most.
Diverse.
Diverse.
Diverse student bodies.
Calling Chicago our home.
Means you have an unlimited.
Unlimited.
Unlimited source of opportunities.
For fun.
Hands-on learning.
And service.
All in a world-class city.
DePaul.
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 Many dreams. One mission.
Morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, February 15th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. the Aqua Bowl. I'm your host, Marina B., joined by my co-hosts, Riley O., Katie A., and Gia Z., and today we're talking about International Writing Centers Week.
Yeah.
Yay.
So just to recap, as you know, we are doing a rotating schedule of Scrawl hosts. So, Gia, how was your Valentine's Day?
I was good. I had the day off and I went to the gym. I was very productive. And then I went out with my friend last night and I had a really nice time.
Love that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Riley, how was your Valentine's Day?
It was very, very nice. I had a board games night with a bunch of my friends, and it was absolutely lovely.
I love to hear that. And Katie, how was your Valentine's Day?
It was good. It was relaxing, which was nice because midterms was like, I don't know, it was just like a lot of work, which felt hostile to me, and I was exhausted. So Valentine's Day was nice. It was relaxing. It's like an extra sweet Thursday.
Oh, that's true. That's how I felt. It was like what I'd normally do on a normal Thursday, except I got some presents.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I love you guys. So that was really fun. Well, happy Valentine's Day, obviously, everybody, but also happy International Writing Centers Week.
Yeah.
Another great February holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A classic.
Yeah, happens just about like at the same like,
one that
tier.
We all celebrate. Let's talk about International Writing Centers Week and what writing centers even are and why we would have a week for them internationally.
Yeah.
So something that I think is a good way to just start off is the mission statement from the International Writing Centers Association, which is the body of sort of like governance of writing centers generally that puts on International Writing Centers Week. So their mission statement is that as an affiliate of the National Council of Teachers of English, the International Writing Centers Association fosters the development of writing center directors, tutors, and staff by sponsoring meetings, publications, and other professional activities, by encouraging scholarship connected to writing center-related fields, and by providing an international forum for writing center concerns.
Ooh, wow. So a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious. Did you all know about like International Writing Centers Week, in your first quarters working at the Aqua Bowl?
Mm-hmm. I think International Writing Centers Week is something that we at the Aqua Bowl are all aware of, but I'm not sure if other people are aware of it, but they should be because I think that a lot of this, like, writing centers around the world deal with the same issues and also can provide resources to each other so we can better be tutors. So maybe it's like a little niche.
Yeah.
But it's niche for us and we love it.
It's very like celebratory. I witnessed it last year and this year, and it's just like a very pleasant, positive celebration of all the work that writing centers do. So mm-hmm. it reminds me of like Jen Finstrom and what she does, making sure everyone's excited about
weekly
the
Jen shout out.
Yeah. I love the vibe that the Writing Center gets when International Writing Centers Week comes around, mm-hmm. with all the tabling that happens and the events and introductions and stuff that continually go on that we will talk about.
Yeah.
it really like gives a nice like kind of festival kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say I really didn't know before starting work at the Aqua Bowl that writing centers are such a like widespread and sort of consistent feature of mm-hmm. colleges. I always sort of figured that, you know, I'm sure that there's writing centers like all over the country, mm-hmm. but I always sort of considered them or never really thought of them to be more than sort of like every school's individual writing center that kind mm-hmm. of does what they do, how they do it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started working at the Aqua Bowl and Aaron introduced international writing centers to our class that I realized, oh, there's like a consistent, you know, like there's writing centers literally all over the world and they kind of follow similar pedagogies. There's like conferences that people from writing centers go to mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. to learn about more about tutoring and sort of stay up to date on like shared writing center practices, which is really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that internationally as well, I think it's interesting that I just keep thinking about how we also have international programs here at our writing center where we work with international students. And I'm wondering like if international writing centers have international programs for their international students. I just think writing centers are great and mm-hmm. we should all get together and have like a chat.
Yeah, one thing that I love about International Writing Centers Week is like the like information and like networking that mm-hmm. happens, where you start to hear about how other writing centers around the world do stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's super cool because the different ways that different writing centers, you know, utilize pedagogy and have like protocols and practices and norms, the ways that they differ can teach us a lot about the different ways that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Aqua Bowl at least is like super focused on like their evolution and like always improving, just because like one of the core values is reflection and like always getting better. And I think in order to do that, it takes talking with other writing centers and looking at mm-hmm. how their tutors do things, and you need a more like global perspective.
Yeah, and additionally, fostering another core value, collaboration. I think
yes.
international. That's. I mean, I guess that's what International Writing Centers Week is all about: is just fostering this collaborative conversation between us, so we can provide these resources. Because, as we all know, one of the first things we're taught as tutors is some of your best resources are other tutors.
So I true. Know.
Absolutely.
So true. So I think we've touched on it. Do we want to maybe start to get into the specifics of like
yeah.
what the Aqua Bowl does during
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
During this week?
Yeah.
Marina, do you want to take that away?
Yeah, I know that we have been sharing on the blog Aqua Bling, Aqua Bowl origin stories.
Right.
Which are sort of like, as you might expect, people's kind of like first touch or first brush
with
the Aqua Bowl. And so I know that I wrote one,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. but there have been just a lot up there. So that's like a kind of fun thing to go look at mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. see like how differently it sort of has folded into everyone's lives. Because mm-hmm. I know that we've talked about it on air before and we'll talk about it again. But we've all discussed like how we started working at the Aqua Bowl. Mm. And a lot of us like had writing fellows and had sort of extensive contact with the writing center before we actually applied for the job or got the job. Whereas myself personally, I had like a very brief, like I had one friend who was a tutor and she kind of was like, you should apply for this job, and like brought me to Writers Guild, and mm-hmm. it like, all mm-hmm. happened in a pretty condensed amount of time. So it's interesting to go read those stories and see like how everybody sort of came into being part of a writing center in their own special way.
Yeah, I love the like diverse stories on how every person kind of has a different kind of experience with that. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing them on like our Instagram feed and on like the Twitter. Mm-hmm. Also, you should go follow those. and it's super interesting how all these different ways that we have of getting in touch with writers and mm-hmm. Creating these kinds of experiences can foster that kind of like introduction and maybe like kind of love of like writing center work. I know I personally came into DePaul with a bit of an awareness of writing centers because there was mm-hmm. one in my high school, which, as I understand it, is a bit of an unusual thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But like as soon as I came here, I like knew I gotta check out, okay, what's their writing center all about? Mm-hmm. And so I like did a bit of research and stuff, but like I would see tables around and try and like go up to them and ask them about like the information about the writing center. And it was so cool to learn about like the particular ways that the University Center for Writing Based Learning does its stuff. Mm-hmm. Super yeah. cool.
And I think Riley and I went to the same high school, yeah. which is really funny. And that was my first experience with any, yeah, writing center. And I don't mm-hmm. know if I ever actually went to our high school.
yeah, it was a little underutilized.
I had a lot of friends who were working there. Who I would kind of on the side just be like, can you look at this? Which is the worst, and I feel horrible for it. but my first experience with the DePaul Writing Center, and I've told the story a few times, and our viewers know it, but I'm going to reiterate.
I'd love to hear it.
I had a PR class, and we had writing fellows, and Kate H., former Scrawl member, was my writing fellow. And we just got to talking, and she's like, you should apply. And because I was saying I need a job, and she's like, this is a good job. And the rest is history.
That's so nice. I love how writing center or writing fellows is a bit of a gateway into the whole Aquabel system.
Yeah, when you get to know someone, you're like, you are nice and a good writer.
Yeah.
Nice people, good writers. Which also reminds me, we're hiring. In the hiring process.
Right.
Just a quick shout out about that.
Interviews in spring quarter, so
yeah,
start preparing.
So,
we're looking for nice people, good writers.
Yeah, and if you are both of those things, you should go to our website, which is depaul.edu/writing.
It'll be in the blog post.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's links to for applications that you can fill out. I think applications are due in April. I think April 22nd, if I heard correctly.
That sounds
I will
about
fact
right.
check yeah. that.
It'll
now.
Be in the blog post.
It'll be in the blog
All
post.
All the info you need.
But come work with us. It's
yeah,
fun.
It's so much. And the
We'd
interview process is, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Ooh, we'll talk about
we'll
that
talk
later.
About that later.
Yeah. But that's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
But let's also talk about what some of the other teams at the Aquabel are doing.
Yeah.
We do this show as mm-hmm. the radio team.
Well, I was going to say mm-hmm. another place that you can find information about hiring is if you are strolling through campus on an average day and you run into an outreach table, because that is something that we have been sort of picking up the pace on in light of International Writing Centers Week. And so often in the stew, I think there mm-hmm. will be tables from the outreach team at the Aquabel, and they have all kinds of resources and like little activities and engagements that you can do to sort of learn more about the Writing Center and how potentially it could be a resource to you.
And there are tables in every college. We want to stress that, you know, the Writing Centers are for everyone, and they mm-hmm. are to be celebrated and used by people, you know, from the College of Health and Science as well as CDM and everywhere. And, mm-hmm. You know, we're just trying to get tutors from to
All
reflect our
life.
Student body.
Yeah. And I love that kind of like diversity of tutors and how like you can get someone who like specializes in the particular kind of writing that you're trying to do.
And a lot of time writers look at that. We have staff bios because we want to be like transparent and just show our stories and how we came to the Writing Center, and a lot of times people be like, oh, I booked this appointment with you because I'm having trouble with like my journalism professor, and like I need help with this writing style. So you know, it's good to show that you have that speciality.
Yeah, yeah. I get a bunch of like people starting to write philosophy papers for the first time. And it's super helpful that like they can see that like, oh yeah, I'm a philosophy major, so I'm used to that type of thing. So they can get someone who specializes.
Yeah,
super neat. What other kind of things do they have at the outreach tables? Like particularly?
There's bookmarks. I know that for sure.
I love the bookmarks. They're like so nice.
Usually little bowls of candy.
Everything you find at the Aqua Bowl.
Yeah. A t-shirt sometimes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another one that we were thinking about in terms of like, what have we been doing? Like, what is the Writing Center up to? Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you're lucky, you can get a free t-shirt.
Exactly. And they're so nice. Can we just talk at that for a second? They're like American Apparel. They're like super
soft. The quality
soft.
Is honestly better than we deserve. It's so soft. Mm-hmm.
They make amazing pajama shirts.
Yes. This is facts.
Again, amazing Jen Finstrom just tossing them out to freshmen on campus. It's beautiful.
Really?
I also heard that something they're doing is they're having writers fill out note cards at these tabling events. And so we're just talking about what we love about writing and, you know, how do other writers know about the Aqua Bowl? And I think that that's going to be made into some form of...
some kind of display.
Display.
Yes.
If you ever look at our bulletin board outside of the Aqua Bowl, there's always something going on.
Yeah, I love those. And I love seeing the responses from the community. Mm-hmm.
It's very interactive, so give it a gander, you know, if you're walking through the SAC.
Yeah.
You have a second.
Absolutely. And speaking of it being collaborative, this is Writing Center's International Writing Center's Week. So we obviously are up to things, but what is everyone else doing? What are other writing centers doing?
Around the nation and other nations. Mm-hmm.
Well, according to a little research, a lot of writing centers are having open houses, so having writers come in and learn information about them within the center, which I think is really calming because you can get used to a space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I think that would be maybe something that we could incorporate, like a drop-in tutoring day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of what the outreach tables are. They're like, hey, come by, like check it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I love that idea.
Yeah, I do love the kind of like openness to have like a day specialized for it. I think our old writing center, the one in our old high school, does a similar thing where they do like a write-in where people can come during like lunch one day because it's high school. You can't have like free time.
Yeah.
That's not in your lunch.
You have to stay there.
But they like... just sit and write about like cool prompts and maybe like what they think about like writing and writing centers. And it's like cool stuff, how people like interact with writing in a like larger community kind of event thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that because it makes people, you know, feel comfortable, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that at our tabling events for outreach, there's always like a laptop or a couple laptops open with like the schedule so that people can get signed up and like created with Writing Center accounts.
Yeah.
So I think it just shows that like a lot of International Writing Centers Week is like drawing awareness so that more people can, you know, use and utilize writing centers.
Absolutely.
Riley, did you want to? I know that you brought up something in our planning period that nobody else was aware of. Do you want to tell us about the Writing Center Twitter chat really quick before
right,
the
right.
music break?
This is another great aspect of like writing centers interacting with one another that I got to see while working at my old writing center is... I think every 2 weeks there is a Writing Center Twitter chat on Twitter where there are like 7 questions posed and then people who work in writing centers like around the world will answer them and start like talking to one another and start to have a dialogue about these cool writing center topics. If you want to check it out, I think the hashtag is hashtag WCChat, so WCChat. And I think next Thursday, next coming Thursday is going to be the next chat. And you can see how people who work in different writing centers start to foster this kind of community and create this sort of dialectic about writing center things, which I think is really critical to the kind of pedagogical developing theories that we work with in the writing center. How there's so many different ways. Do you do like prescriptive stuff or descriptive stuff? Do you do scaffolding and all those sorts of things? Those don't come about unless you have kind of discussions about them and interface.
And that's what International Writing Centers Week is all about. So on that note, as it's also just been Valentine's Day, we have some Valentine's Day themed song breaks for y'all today. So we're going to start it off with a classic, At Your Best, You Are Love.
Let me know, let me know. Let me know, let me know, let me know. When I feel what I feel, sometimes it's hard.
Let me know.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection, and this is Scrawl, the University Center for Writing-Based Learning's radio show.
Yeah.
We are here celebrating International Writing Centers Week, and this is the part of the show where we talk about how much we love the Writing Center and we share our experiences at the Writing Center. Mm-hmm. So I just first wanted to know, Gia, what did you do for your interview to work at the Writing Center?
This is always a story.
It's
so
much fun.
Yeah. So little preview at the Writing Center, when you apply, there is like a multi-phase interviewing process, a couple activities you got to get through. One of them in particular is sitting down with some of our directors and teaching them how to do something, or at least it was when we, you know, applied.
Yeah, I think it still is.
I think it should always be. It's a wonderful.
It's so neat.
It's a wonderful exercise. So you just have to show that you're able to work through something with people. And what I did was I taught everyone a yoga pose, because I remember when we were interviewing, it was midterms, and I was like, everyone's really stressed right now. I'm really stressed right now. And we're going to do a tree pose really quick. Everyone, hook up your arms.
I love that.
Yeah. It was nice. I did get Katie Brown, like, doing a tree pose in her heels in the office.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was like, we're getting serious. And I just worked with them, and everything was really nice.
That's,
you know,
so considerate.
And yeah, my interview was lovely. Everyone was really kind and patient and let me, you know, like, flesh out my answers, and it was wonderful.
That's super fun. I love that part of the interview, because it's such a nice, like, kind of crash course through tutoring, you know, like, where you can really get a sense of, like, is this person cut out for the tutoring life?
The tutoring life.
And it's not like, oh, you gotta be an expert in this or whatever, but, like, being able to kind of, like, convey that information and kind of, like, help people through that sort of, like, exploration, I think is, like, super fun.
Being able to guide something.
It's super... super critical.
What was your interview experience, Tyler?
it was pretty fun. So in high school, I was kind of into cardistry, which is a funky thing. You know how, like, street magicians will, like, take a deck of cards and do, like, cool tricks with it, like flip it from one hand to the other.
Yeah.
And do, like, cool deceptive things.
I love that.
cardistry is really similar in that it's like magic, but without the deception and the misleading of the eyes. It puts everything out there, and it's just about doing, like, really cool card tricks.
Oh.
So I started to get into that world a little bit as a hobby in high school. And so I thought, that's a really cool thing that I think people would really enjoy learning. So I went into the little, like, 5-minute teaching process, looking to teach everyone a little cardistry trick. The specific thing that I taught them was a fan, where you just, like, take a deck in your hand and you, like, use your other hand to, like, spread it out so that you have a beautiful, like, circular spread for like someone to pick a card or something like that. And it's not that, like, complicated, but, like, so it can be taught in 5 minutes, but once you, like, practice it a bunch, it gets super smooth and super cool. And so everyone seemed to at least have a lot of fun learning that real quick. In fact, they learned it so fast that a couple of people wanted to learn a different trick.
Oh,
they wanted to get to, like, the next level. So I taught them a little bit of the, I forget what it's called. It's like a card, like, stack or a shuffle or something like that, where, like, you, like, press the deck with one hand and shoot it into your other hand, which is a pretty tough trick, but they were down.
Yeah, it's very impressive you were able to do that in such a short amount of time. I'm like so bad with like tactile things and like handling cards that that's foreign to me.
Yeah, yeah, it's tricky. The like ideas and the concepts are pretty quick, but like getting that dexterity down takes a while.
Yeah, I have small hands, so it's usually hard for me to do things like that.
Mm. I have small hands too. Put your hand on my hand.
Let's see.
Okay, for listeners, Gia's hand is definitely bigger than mine.
Yeah.
I always thought I had small hands.
Maybe Marina's are really small.
Little baby hands. Yes.
We'll never know. It was sweet that we just got to hold hands a little bit, Gia.
Out here in the booth, making connections. Katie, do you want to walk us through your interview process a bit?
I like literally taught them like how to fold clothes. It was so boring. I hate it. I don't want to talk about it. But what I will say is I really enjoyed how like welcoming and comfortable the atmosphere was in my interview, because it can be very intimidating to walk into a room of like four adults who are like waiting for you, and you gotta like shake all their hands, mm-hmm. like make eye contact, and it's like so much to go through.
Really?
But they were like super just participatory and acted like excited about whatever you had to teach them, and were like great at giving feedback and responding to you. I would say for the questions, but it felt more like a conversation, which I felt really aided, you know, a performance in the interview is how you feel and how comfortable you are. So
yeah,
I really appreciated that. Also, during our interview process, they give you like kind of a problematic essay that you have to like apply, I guess, comments to. Mm-hmm. And I liked that because you could tell they weren't looking at you to like fix the grammar of it or like change the structure, because it was like a more widely flawed essay that you could tell, you know, they were looking for you to explain how you felt about like the language a person was using, or like explain how you felt about like the way someone was organizing their writing. And I appreciated, you know, that
it had some kind of like conceptual.
Yeah, exactly. That you, they were like showing you the work that was going to be kind of done in the writing center, and like seeing how you behaved around it and like how you interacted with it.
Yeah, and how like tutoring is more than just like grammar stuff.
Exactly, saying that they're not like a grammar center. It's like about writing as a whole.
Yeah, we love that.
We do love that.
Marina, what did you do for your interview?
My interview was pretty fun. I taught the interviewers how to read tarot.
Oh,
so
that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
so I brought in, I think I did a 3-card spread for KDB, and we like, you know, it's a 5-minute thing, so you get timed. So I think first I briefly explained like what tarot cards are and how they work, and then I started doing her spread, but I ran out of time, and like the timer went off, and she was like, "No, keep going." Like, so that was really fun.
I do have a question. Did you happen to interview with Lori Dietz, our former director?
No, I don't remember,
because she would have responded well.
She would have responded well. Yeah, she loves tarot.
I don't remember, because I'm not sure if she was still, I guess she would have technically still been working there when I had interviewed, but I don't remember.
You would have known.
I have never seen her since.
Yeah, that's true. You would have known, I think.
Yeah, but that's so cool. I love tarot cards, and I think that's a super neat thing to introduce people to.
My first deck of tarot cards was given to me by Jen Benstrom.
That is so great.
Yeah, for my secret turkey gift this year at the Aqua Bowl.
That's so cute. Yeah. My secret turkey gift this year was like a 2-pound bag of tamarind candy.
I love that.
I still have probably like a pound and a half of it left.
That's
very
great.
Specific. Did you ask for that?
No. Not technically, no. I asked for like one of the several things that I listed as like stuff that I'm generally interested in is like fun snacks or like weird snacks, you
weird
know?
Snacks.
Can we just mention what Secret Turkey is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Secret Turkey is something that we do at the Writing Center, because obviously at DePaul, we are on break from pre-Thanksgiving to post-New Year's. So it's kind of hard to do Secret Santa because people aren't necessarily in the Christmas spirit yet by the time that we're like in our last week of school. So at the Aqua Bowl, we do Secret Turkey, which is the same exact thing,
it's
but
a gift exchange
for Thanksgiving.
And it's so nice.
It's nice. You really write like some things that you like, and you get like a nice little surprise. I remember Lo, my roommate, and Aquablur, shout out Lo, her secret turkey, had a very minimal, like, what they description. Wanted, description of mm-hmm. what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I like goldfish and like the snack. Like, and yeah. she got him like one of those just giant boxes of goldfish and just like sticky noted like his name on it. And like, I think he really enjoyed it. And it was like a really beautiful exchange.
Like, here is a huge supply of goldfish.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get back into talking about our own experiences within our writing center.
Right.
As tutors more than gift exchangers.
More than as friends and family.
More than as friends and family, lifelong friends that you'll make here at the Aquaball if you apply, so you should.
Well, I want to know if anybody has like a really wholesome story about tutoring that they wanted to share. Like, if anything comes to mind when you think of like your best experience mm-hmm. as a tutor.
I'm like currently having my best experience as a tutor.
Like, as
let's
we
hear
speak.
It.
Yeah.
Gia's been doing a written feedback this whole time.
Right now. I just mean in this quarter, I've been having a repeat appointment with an international student named Chloe, and she's amazing. And she is in a pronunciation class. And so we're just going through like words and like thinking about like how your mouth makes sounds and stuff. Huh. But we're also talking a lot about American culture and, you know, differences between being a student in America. And I think she's from Vietnam. And so she's mm-hmm. a student in Vietnam. We talked about like loans the other day. And I like explained to her, you know, like how I have my loan and like how, what the average, like, loan debt is for students.
That was surprising.
She was shocked. She was like, just for school. And I was like, just for school. And she goes, 4 years. And I was like, 4 years. And she's, that's too much.
Ugh, that's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. We'll talk. We're all in debt. It's great. Anyways, Chloe's amazing. We're like tackling all of these you know, like pronunciation guides, and it feels really nice to like make a little friend and to like help her out, and she helps me out by giving me perspective, and you know, like, it's nice, it's cute.
Symbiosis.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, that's something that I think it's important for people to know about the Writing Center, if you don't already, is that we don't even just deal with writing, which we deal with in a lot of different ways. We also do conversation partner appointments. So for people who are looking to improve their English or to improve conversational skills in any kind of register of conversation, you can make an appointment at the Writing Center and we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
For free.
I love like a culture appointment and just talking about like, okay, the like, here's what you should watch on Netflix. Yeah. Like, here's my favorite restaurant, where's yours? Yeah.
That's,
you know,
so
just chilling, learning about each other. Those are some of my favorite appointments, I think. Who does anyone else have like a wholesome Aquaball story? It's okay if we don't want to share that. You can keep it to yourself. We're actually gonna do a song break. Feel wholesome and reminisce on that with this great tune, I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince.
I'm not afraid to
Welcome back. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection, and we are Scrawl.
Yeah.
The radio show.
Welcome back to Scrawl.
We're Scrawl. We always end our show with what you're reading, and, you know, we're always reading.
Oh, yes. Gotta read to write.
Who would like to go first with what you're reading? Me. Or is Katie?
That's right. Mine's short, so I'll do it.
Yeah, you do it.
Okay, so yesterday, someone I follow on Twitter shared a photo of a poem, like in the book of poetry they were reading.
I love that.
Yeah. And okay, I got to thinking, because I read it. I read it from the photos, and I got to thinking, like, I would never do this. I would feel like way too corny, but like, why? Like, I enjoyed the poem so much. I saved it to my camera roll. I like read it again this morning. So I guess this is like turning into a PSA of like, feel more comfortable about like taking photos of the passages you like. It was called Orion's Belt, and it was from a book called Loose Sugar by Brenda Hillman. So if you're, it was like a little bit like romantic maybe for V-Day. So I'm giving a plug to that because I thought it was beautiful writing, and I was really glad I was able to experience that little bit of poetry on the timeline.
That's lovely.
I love that.
And shout out, share your poetry experiences.
There you go. Share the art you enjoy. Don't feel ashamed.
Yes. Don't be ashamed. I'm also going through a bit of a poetry bend, and I am loving every second of it. I've started listening to a couple of like poetry podcasts, namely there's one called Verses and another one called The Poetry Gods.
I didn't even know about that genre, so I'm intrigued.
It's super cool. Like, I love to hear poets speak because their language is just so beautiful. And especially like slam poets, they like know how to talk, and it's so good. So the podcast is super rad. But I'm mostly using the podcast as a way of getting introduced to new poets and start to read their work, which has been like super, super rad. For one, you have like the like hosts of the podcast. Like Verses is hosted by like Franny Choi and Dinez
Smith.
Yeah. And it's like super, super rad. And I love their work. And like the more poets that they interview, the bigger this pool of poets that I can check in on is getting. It's super rad.
I'm loving that.
I just watched a Netflix documentary on Joan Didion. So now I'm reading Joan Didion. Do we all know who Joan Didion is?
Have we seen Lady Bird?
Yeah.
She's a central theme
in Lady Bird. She's from Sacramento.
Yeah.
I highly recommend the documentary. It was really good. It's called The Center Will Not Hold, which is a the first line of Slouching Towards Bethlehem, which is what I'm reading. It's her essay on hippie culture in San Francisco in the late 60s. Ooh. But because it was seen as this like very like positive thing mostly in media, it's an expose on the negatives too. There's a lot of like child neglect.
I imagine that there are many
drugs,
to be honest.
Drugs and child neglect and like a lot of people just like separating from their families and stuff and running away like really young. And so it's just this, she writes really chaotically, but I love it and it's beautiful. And it's very like prosy, but she has a journalist background. And so it's like still fact oriented. It's a lot of like interview pieces and like descriptive, like, you know, sections and stuff. So highly recommend Joan Didion.
That's fascinating.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. What was the documentary about?
It's just her life. Yeah, just her
I
life
bet that's
in general.
Interesting too.
It is very interesting. She had like a very glam. She knew Jim Morrison really well. She was like one of those writers, you know, who like hung out with musicians.
Social
icon.
What was it called again?
The Center Will Not Hold. Joan Didion.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've been reading. I recently ordered a book and it has arrived to my house and I haven't opened it yet because I've been reading a lot of other things for class, but it's a book by an author that I actually did not know was local until recently because I was exposed to him first when I lived in Richmond, but his name is Sam Pink and he's Chicago based. He writes mostly poetry, but sort of like prose poetry, if that makes sense, like the kind of poetry that's more so prose but with sort of like esoteric themes and like less conventional like pacing and stylization,
more like poetic logic.
But a friend of mine borrowed one of his books to me and I really liked it and I had to throw it out because of an unfortunate backpack spillage. I ordered a different one that will be here, or that is here, that I'm going to read. And I'll tell you guys about it next time. And then I should probably also order a replacement of the other one because that was really sad when I had to throw that book away.
What did you spill? No.
It was not water. It was like a dark stainage liquid.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a shame.
We've all been there.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all the time we have today.
Yeah.
This has been a really lovely episode, guys.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this.
International Writing Centers Week.
Yeah.
And Valentine's Day.
Day.
What a good week.
It's been a good week. And you know what else has been nice? It was kind of warm yesterday.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
That's very, it's not anymore.
Yeah.
It might be a bit chilly today, but yesterday was really nice.
Unpleasant this morning.
I think Mother Nature might have a thing out for us.
Probably, you know.
That or it's February.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. This is like peak winter time in the Midwest.
True.
As you know. Well, I think.
Thanks for tuning in, Skrull Nation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week.
All of y'all had a lovely Valentine's Day and an even better International Writing Centers week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Catch you on the flip, Skrull Nation.